There we go. That was noisy. But yeah, I want to thank the church and for all the hospitality and taking care of us and all the hard work. I'll give you my text in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verses 41 to 43. And as you turn in there, I've had several people ask about my son Wyatt. Boy, I tell you what, I've been there in that place where there's no hope. No hope offered from the doctors. Call your family in, your son's going to die, you know. I've been there before. Brother Gordon's message about that little sanctuary in that place, that really hit home. Because the Lord was a sanctuary in that place. But anyway, I want to give a little update on Wyatt. Wyatt is doing very well. It seems like all the intensity of his life was in those first 71 days in the NICU. he has a shunt, and that he had the a brain bleed and all these complications. But anyhow, they put a shunt in to drain the fluid off the brain, and that's been stable for 8-9 years. Nothing, no changes. But just in the last 6 months or so, we started to see some changes. Things are, showing pressure in there, and things are changing. And so the doctors are going, okay, we might need to talk about surgery. Of course, the neurosurgeon's like, he's a surgeon, so this is what I do, right? And so he's the, I usually, want to be proactive. We'll do the surgery, right? But we're like, we're gonna trust the Lord. We're gonna wait on the Lord. We're gonna see what He's gonna do. So obviously, we're praying about that. And we went in, I think just this last week, had an MRI done. And, over the last year, every 6 months, they do an MRI and it shows it's still, changing. But we went in this last time and had the MRI done, and I just, just praying about that. And the doctor says, everything looks good. Everything's stable. Come and see me in a year. And after that, every 5 years. So... but I just wanted to give that update, and I wanted to, praise the Lord once again for Wyatt. Wyatt is a demonstration of the miraculous working of God. Amen. When the doctors say there's no hope, the Lord says, "Oh yes, there is. Yes, there is." And so, but I wanted to give that update about Wyatt before we get into the message. I've just so appreciated all the messages that have come before, and. I think that Brother Graber's should have been the end message, and I think that Brother Reynolds should have been the last message. But I guess the Lord knows. The Lord knows what message we need to hear last. But you put it in the order, whatever order you want. But I do think the message goes well with, the things that we've been considering throughout the conference. But 1 Kings chapter 22 and verses... 41 through 43. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And so my the thought today is, nevertheless, the high places. Nevertheless, the high places. Concerning idolatry and the high places, there were basically three kinds of kings in Judah. Kings that established high places. Solomon, he was the first one that established the high place. Solomon and Manasseh, he's in the notorious one. But they established high places. And there were kings that tore down the high places. Hezekiah and Josiah, these are kings that tore down the high places. But there were kings like Jehoshaphat that were good kings. But they left the high places. They left the high places. And at some point in our lives, we are likely to be like all three of these kinds of kings. If we're saved, no doubt we would like to be like the good kings that tore down the high places. But very likely most of us will be like the kings that did right in the sight of the Lord, nevertheless, did not remove the high places. And so the question for us today is, what will we do about our high places? You know, when we come to a conference like this, this is the people of God assembling together, for the most part, right? This is the people of God assembling together. These are God's people. We've been saved, right? And we're not major idol worshipers anymore. We were called out of that darkness, right, into a life of loving the Lord and serving the Lord. But just like the people we read about here, there are those high places, those remnants of sin, those remnants of the old life, those things that oftentimes that we leave there, those things that we neglect, and we say, well, that's just not really that big a deal. The high places. And you know, as we've been addressed by all these messages throughout the conference, they've addressed those types of things, haven't they? The high places. Those areas in our life that, you know, that the Lord maybe has been addressing, maybe He's been speaking to us on, but we've just been neglecting it. We've just sort of like we've sort of like left it alone. But you know, that's not really, you know, when we think about it, is that the legacy that we want to leave? That they were, you know, they were a good Christian, but they left the high places. You know, and for years as I've read this and you read through the Kings and you know, you rejoice with the kings when they just take care of all of it, you know. And then you read about the ones that just go right off into idolatry, and you say, oh. And then you read about the ones that nevertheless they left the high place, and you say, oh, you know. And when we think about the reality of our lives, that's probably, you know, if we're honest, if we're honest, we say, yeah, I'm like the kings that leave the high places. I'm not like the ones that just went and just tore it all down. But there's the high places. And so, I don't know what your high places are, and you don't necessarily know what my high places are, but I know you have high places. I have high places. I have those things that steal my heart away. I have those things that steal my thoughts away. I have those things that steal my time away. I have those things that take way too much of my life away from the service of the Lord. Those are the high places. And we've got to address those. You can't just say it's all right to leave that. You know, it's not that big a deal. We need to remember that little foxes spoil the vine of our relationship with Christ. So we can't leave the high places. Don't neglect those things. That's what this kind of a conference is all about. Dealing with the high places. Dealing with those things. Having those things be addressed. And say, this is something that the Lord has been reminding you of for years and years and years and years. This is something that you know needs to be taken care of. This is something you know is an issue in your life. Don't leave the high places. Don't be like the kings that they were a good king, but nevertheless, they left the high places. That's my hope for myself. As I consider this. And that's my hope for all of us as we've heard all these messages. I've heard lots of things that there have been so many things throughout the messages that have really hit home for me. You know? And we need to deal with those things. We need to address those things. But before we go too much farther, I do want to stop and pause and ask the Lord's help and blessing one more time on the message. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for all that you do for us. And Lord, you are a great God, and we are constantly in need of you, Lord. We're in need of strength in every way to preach your word. Father, but it is your word. It is your spirit, and we are your people, Lord, and we are gathered to hear from you. Lord, we need that work done in our hearts, and we pray that you would work in our hearts. We pray that you would continue to do the work. We pray that you would complete the work. Help us not to walk away and leave the high places. Father, help us to deal with those things and be changed, Lord. Those are the things that we need to change, Lord, the things that have been there for years. Help us, Lord, to address those things. Pray that you'd use your word to do that work and by the working of your spirit. Pray that you would help me today and that you'd bless us all together today as we consider your word. We do thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, first of all, number one, what are the high places? What are the high places? Go back for a minute to 1 Kings 11. 1 1 Kings 11 and verse 4. Well, we'll back up and read in verse 1. Because this was, the heart of the issue is always the heart of the issue. It's always the heart. That's the reason. We heard that from Brother Graber, right? It's a hard issue. And so if we've got high places, it's a hard issue. It isn't good enough to go cut it down without dealing with the hard issue, right? You've got to deal with the hard issues. Okay, so Solomon had a heart problem, which led to the establishment of the high places. It all boiled down to a heart problem. And that caused him to compromise with the world. That caused him to compromise with idolatry. That caused him to let these things, to establish these things. He was the original one who established the high places in Israel and in Judah. But verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So Solomon was the original king that established the high places, and he's the reason that the kingdom was divided. And so, what are the high places? The high places were places of idolatry and sin. I mean, this is what they were. They were built under the reign of Solomon, as we see there. They came from loving the world and not separating from it. That was the root of it. Loving the world or something in the world and not separating from it. And not only that, but compromising with it. You know, that's always going to be at the root of the problem. Not separating from the world. Your heart is attached to something in this world and you build a high place for it. It's a place that your heart is not totally devoted to God and you build this special place for it in your life. And you keep it. You know, you keep this high place, this secret place, this separate place. You keep it out of church. You would never bring it into church, would you? You keep it far away in some high hill out in the woods somewhere, right? You wouldn't bring it in. You're not going to bring it in, and you're not going to be parading it around because you know that it's not right. But nevertheless, there's a high place hidden somewhere in your life. It's hidden, and it's established. It's something that's there. And you know it's there, and it's something that needs to be dealt with. But those come from loving the world and not separating from it. There are many high places and false gods in this world that this world worships. If we, like Solomon, love someone or something in this world, we are very likely to do just like Solomon and build high places of sin and worldly idolatry in our lives. You know, there's always a heart attachment. You know, we heard, who was Brother Lafferty? Brother Lafferty mentioned about the pleasure and sin, the reality of that. That is a reality, you see? And so there's a heart issue, you know? There's a heart issue that there's an affection that ought not to be there, an inordinate affection for some sort of a idolatrous thing, some sort of something that steals your heart from God. And we cannot let those things remain. We cannot let them go undealt with in our lives. But that's what the high places are. They're a remnant of the old life of idolatry. They're a remnant of sin. They're something that remains. But very, very associated with idolatry. Now, who was affected by the high places? We see that Solomon was greatly affected, obviously.
by the high places. But we see also that the whole kingdom was affected, wasn't it? I mean, everybody in your life who's with you in your boat, they're going to be affected by your high places. They're going to be affected by your high places. But we see the whole kingdom was affected. But not only that, for the whole history of Israel, the whole kingdom was affected. And every generation that came after Solomon was affected by his high places, right? It's serious business. We don't look at it like that. We think of it as it's just this little thing. But it's serious business because it affects our children. And it affects our church. And it affects the generations that are going to come after us. They're going to have to deal with our high places. They're going to have to deal with those things. And so it's not just a little thing. It's something that's going to be a generational problem if it's established in your life. And people, you know, if you're a Christian, people looking to you and they see something, well, they allowed that in their life, right? That's going to affect them, isn't it? It was your high place, something you allowed, and it was okay with you. Well, it was okay with them, right? Well, it's okay with our pastor. It must be okay, right? That's the subtlety of high places. When you leave them, people think it was okay with you, so it must be okay. So it affected the whole kingdom. It affected Israel for their whole history. I mean, it caused the division of the Judah and Israel. And it did it for their whole history up to the time of captivity. All the way up to the time of captivity. That was the high places. The establishment of the high places and not getting rid of them for once and for all was Israel's problem. Every king and every generation had to deal with the high places that had been established under Solomon. And so again, we need to be very careful about the establishments of those high places in our lives. Our children and the generations to come that follow after will have to live and deal with those things. I mean, again, we could speak for, you know, a moment about our country's history and the high places that have come in and been established and that we have to deal with and that are there, you know. But really, we need to bring it closer to home, you know. In our lives, what are our high places? Because that's going to affect our immediate family. That's going to affect our church where we're a part of. That's going to have a long-term effect in the lives of the people around us. We need to deal with those things. We see also that when we get to Jehoshaphat, that all the people were affected by the high places in that generation. Let's read that there again in 1 Kings there. In 22. There in verse 43, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered burnt incense yet in the high places. So notice that all the people of God were affected by this, weren't they? They were all affected by that in their generation. And so the principle is that in every generation, the people of God will be affected by the high places established and left undealt with by the former generation. That's the principle. That's what we see here. That every generation is going to have to kind of clean up the mess of the generation that was before them. But we don't want to be that king that establishes that. So we don't want to leave that mess to the next generation. That's why it's so important for us to deal with it in our lives, you know. I mean, think about that. We can think about that. We look at that, you know, we look at maybe our family history. We look at maybe our parents and maybe the things that they allowed and how those things affected us, right? It's going to be the same thing in our lives with our children, with our families. It's going to have an effect. And it's going to shape their lives. It's going to shape the way that they think and they operate. And they're going to have to deal with that, you know. And so that's the principle. Those things, once established, have a long-term impact. And it's very important that we recognize that and deal with that. It's going to have a generational impact. And then the other thing that we notice, the principle, is that God's people have a tendency to leave the high places. Right? We don't have a tendency to deal with the high places. That's why they're left. It's something. It's a problem. It's a difficulty. It's a struggle. We might not, you know, we may have too much affection attached to it. And we just don't want to do it. And so that we have a tendency to leave the high places. That's, you know, that's a principle that we notice. That's what we see. Is that we don't naturally want to deal with those things. We would rather just forget about it. We would rather just leave it alone. Those things have a tendency to remain in our lives rather than getting rid of them. That's why those things last for generations and years and years and years. I mean, and again, I hope through this, as we're thinking about this, I hope the Lord is pointing out to you that thing or those things or that area in your life that He just keeps reminding you of again, and He keeps reminding you of again, and He keeps reminding you of again. And you just say, well, it's just a little thing. It's just a little hill. It's not really all that high of a high place. Deal with that thing. Amen. Deal with that thing. Get rid of it once and for all. And don't leave it for your children. Don't leave it for your church. Don't leave that thing for the next generation. Deal with that thing. Deal with that thing. Get that thing out of your life. And so that's not left. Oh, listen, you know you don't want the record to say something like Jehoshaphat. That's not good enough, is it? Are you satisfied with that in your life? They were a good Christian, you know. They served the Lord, but they left the high places, right? I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I want to be like one of those kids. I want to be like a Hezekiah, you know. I want to be like a Josiah, you know. We'll read about Josiah in a while. He dealt with stuff. I mean, there was nothing left when he got done. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you dealing in your life, and then you're going on over into Samaria, and you're going to do some dealing there too. I mean, he's dealing with all of the idolatry. He's dealing with all of it. Isn't that the kind of legacy that you want to leave for your children, for your church? Isn't that what you want to leave behind? That's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for one of those Christians that didn't leave the high places. You know? Yeah, we're going to have issues. We're going to have problems. We're going to have struggles. But don't make excuses for your high places. Don't make excuses. Don't say, yeah, but it's just me and poor me and all, you know. Deal with the high places. Go deal with the high places. Get rid of it. Cut it out of your life. Be done with the thing once and for all. Oh, and that's the thing about, that's an important part too. When you deal with the high places, make sure, and again, we're going to get to Josiah. I don't know if we'll read that, all of it, but when he dealt with it, man, he ground it to powder. He stamped it out. He got rid of it, right? Don't put it somewhere where it can be reestablished later on. Be done with it. Be done with it. Get rid of it so you can't recover it. Just be done with it. But that's how we need to deal with it. That's the only way to deal with the high places. It's the only way to deal with that thing that keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. The only way to deal with it is to just be done with it once and for all. Get it out of your life. Destroy it so you cannot participate in it anymore. Be done with it. That's how you deal with that stuff. That's how you deal. Don't let it remain. Don't just put it somewhere on a shelf. Don't just put it, you know, it will come back if you don't be done, you know, get rid of it once for all. It's going to come back. And you know it. You know it because you've ran that circle before. You've ran that cycle in your life. The Lord's dealt with you. You said, I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm finally going to deal with this thing. And you put it out of your life for a while, but you put it somewhere on a shelf. That thing is going to come back. You will come back in a circle to that thing. If it's still there. That's why you got to cut it down. You got to destroy it. You got to get rid of it once for all. It's the only way to do it. The only way to do it. Don't mess around. Don't play around. Don't play games with God. Get rid of the thing. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Get rid of it. That's the only way to deal with it. But listen, very important that we recognize that. But we do have this tendency to leave those things and not get rid of them. We see that Jehoshaphat, Let the high places remain because of the influence of the people. Solomon established the high places because of the influences of his wives. And Jehoshaphat left the high places because of the influence of the people. And again, there are influences in this world that are very strong, very powerful. Things that influence us to keep the high places. You know, there are going to be people in your life that say, oh no, that's not that. No, you need to have a little bit of fun in your life. You need to have a little bit of that in your life. You know, there's always going to be those voices. There's always going to be those influences. No, that's just extreme. No, that's going too far. No, you need to get rid of that. Don't let the people influence you. That was Jehoshaphat's, one of his issues. He let the people influence him. Don't do that. It's good to let the people influence you in a good thing. But don't let them influence you to keep the high places. And that was the problem with Jehoshaphat. He let the people influence him. So he didn't deal with them. Worldly influence has a powerful effect upon whether or not we have and keep these kind of high places in our hearts and lives. So again, who's affected by the high places? We are. God's people are affected by the high places. Yeah. We are. And we are going to either leave them standing or we're going to cut them down. We're going to destroy them. We're going to cast them out. We're going to get rid of them. You know, we're going to do one or the other. And so that's the issue. Again, think about all the things we've heard today. Think about the messages you've heard over the years and years and years and years sitting in church. And the thing that the pastor comes back to all the time and you just sit there and grit your teeth and say, that thing. Yeah, that's the thing right there. That's the high place. That thing that you hear, that you don't like to hear preached about, that's your high place. That's the thing that you need to deal with. Get rid of that thing. That thing. If it's contrary to the Word of God, and you want to keep it in your life, and you're mad when somebody gets on that thing, that's your high place. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Be done with it once and for all. So that brings us to the third thing. What are my high places? What are my high places? Who cares about your neighbors so much, you know? What about you? And, of course, we realize that. It's so easy to look around and see everybody else's issues. But, man, they got a high hill in their backyard. And, man, oh, man, look at their idols. Right? But you look in your backyard, man, I got nothing back. That little molehill once in a while, and they ain't got much back there. We just can't. We're not very good. Man, why am I so tired walking down here? That ain't that big a hill. Can hardly make it to the top of it. Such a big hill, I'm out of breath. But no, that's not that. It's not really not that big a hill. It's not that big a deal. It's not that big a problem in my life. But what are my high places? Just like the many names of the false gods, there are many high places of sin and idolatry in this world. They are all set on a high hill, and they're easily identified, except the one in our backyard. And that's the one that we can't see, the one in our backyard. Everyone else's high places are easy to see, but often our own high places seem very small and inconspicuous and insignificant. Again, as we've mentioned, they seem like just a little thing. But again, those little foxes spoil the vine of your relationship with Christ. It's the little foxes that you have to take. Let us take the little foxes, right? That spoil the vine, right? You've got to take the little foxes. That's the devil's method. He knows he's not going to come to the child of God with a great big obvious sin, a great big obvious thing for the most part, right? Not when we're near the Lord. When we get away from the Lord, the big, great big obvious sins don't seem very obvious anymore. But when you're near the Lord, he's not going to get to you with a great big obvious sin, but what he's going to do is he's going to bring in little foxes. He's going to bring in, this just little bitty compromise, this little bitty entertainment. This road's a little bit easier. This way of raising my children's a little easier. It just goes with the flow of the world better. It's just easier. A little bitty thing he's going to bring in. And that's going to start the wedge. That's going to start the separation. The farther you get away. And again, I hope that I'm preaching to the choir. Because you've experienced in your life what I'm talking about.
You've experienced being near to the Lord, and it's like nothing could get to you. But then a little thing came in, and it began to drive a wedge between you and the Lord. And you became separated more and more and more from the Lord. And you got nearer and nearer and nearer to this world. But it didn't happen by this big obvious thing. It was a subtle little thing. And that's the way it always is in the lives of God's people. It's the subtle things. It's the little things that get into our lives. That's the inroad. Those are the things that's why you got to pay attention to the little foxes. If you say, oh, that's just a little thing, red flag. That's just a little thing. Nope. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of the thing. And that's the beginning of a road that you're not going to want to go down. Stop it. When you see the little issue, when you see the little problem, when you see I'm a little bit farther from the Lord than I used to be, address the issue. See what it is that's causing you to be a little bit away from the Lord. Because that little bit's going to become a long way away in a short amount of time. And so we need to remember not to look so much around at the high places of other people's lives or of the world. We can just get mail, boy, we can march to that drum and we can beat that drum and oh boy, this world. But my backyard is where I really need to deal with. That's where I need to deal with. The hill in my backyard. Where my issues are at. That's what I need to deal with. That's what we need to deal with. It seems like such a little thing, but here are the questions we need to ask. Does it steal your heart from the Lord? Steal your affections? Does it steal your mind? You know, think about this. You know, where is your mind at all the time? You know, is it stealing your thoughts? Is it consuming your mind? This world is designed to consume your mind. To always keep you consumed with something else. Some worry, some entertainment, you know, some busyness, something. But is your mind being consumed by it? Is your heart being stolen away by it? What about the strength of your life? Are you tired all the time because you're always running after it, that you're always serving it? Do you have any strength of your life left to give to the Lord? These are the things that you can identify and say, you know what? This thing is taking me away from the Lord. I can't give myself to this. I need to give myself to the Lord. Does it consume much time in self and self-indulgence? You know, that's a big mountain in our backyard. Self, right? That's there. There's a high place. Is it all about me and what I want to do all the time? Right? That's a huge mountain. That's a huge issue. Self. And that's something that we need to address and deal with. Does it draw you nearer to God or does it pull you farther away? These are easy things to think about. Just list them. Just think about it. Is this bringing me nearer to the Lord or farther away? Well, if it's bringing me farther away, it's a problem. It's a high place. It's an issue. If it's drawing me nearer to the Lord, it's something that's a benefit. That's something good. But what's it doing? What's it doing? And these things are not that hard to address. They're not that hard to identify. It comes back to the heart problem. What do you want to do with the thing? How much do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord enough to get rid of the thing? Do you want to be with Him? Do you want to just spend time with Him? Do you want to delight yourself in the Lord? Do you realize that in His presence is fullness of joy, as we heard? Right? It's a hard issue. You can't serve two masters. You're gonna love and obey the one, and you're gonna despise the other. You can't do it, and so you've got to choose. You've got to deal with that, and it's got to be. And again, it has to be a matter of the heart. It can't be the negative that I should do. As again, we've heard about that. It's not the negative that I should do this and I shouldn't do this, but it's what do I want to do? That's why it's such a hard issue. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then I want to serve Him. Then I want to deal with these things. I might struggle with that, but I want to be done with it. I want to be rid of it because I want to be near to the Lord. You see? And so we deal with those things because we love the Lord, right?
That's why we want to deal with him, because we love him. And I don't want this thing to be stealing my heart and my time and my life away from serving you. I want to be able to serve you and to walk with you and to love you and to my mind to be focused upon you, and I want to walk with you in that way. And so we need to ask ourselves those questions. Can you say of it, well, does it draw you near or pull you farther away? But can you do it to the glory of God? That's another good question. That one right there, that one will make it so easy. Can I do this to the glory of God? You fill in the blank with whatever that place is. But can you do this to the glory of God? If you can't, then it's something you need to get rid of. You need to get rid of it. How about this one? Can you say of it, not my will but thine? Right? That's again, it's a hard issue. Lord, can I have this thing, please? Can I have permission to have my will and my way in my life, Lord? You need to be able to truly say, and this is probably one of the hardest things that we actually have to deal with. Not my will, but thine. There are so many things that we want to hang on to. I want my will, Lord. I want my way. You know, and Lord, your will be done. But really, I want my will and I want my way. But to honestly be able to say, your will, not mine. I really do want your will. If you can say that of it, you know that it's a good thing. But if you can't really say that, if you can't really give it up to the Lord, you know, it's an idol. It's got your heart. If you can't let it go, that's a high place. It's got a hold of your heart. It's got a hold of your will. Not my will, Lord, but thine. If God asked it of you, would you give it up? And then how about a step further? Has God asked it of you? And how many times has he asked it of you? And how many times have you withheld it from him? Right? It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. How many times has the Lord asked it of you and you've not given it to him? Wouldn't that be a high place? We've got to let it go. Give it to him. So then we come to the final question. What will we do about our high places? Okay, what will you do about all the messages that you've heard through the conference and all the messages you heard through all the years sitting in the church pew? What are you going to do with those messages? What are you going to do with that thing that keeps coming back? That's the thing. And you know it is. What are you going to do with it? He's got something he keeps telling you about your family and some issues in your family and some stand you need to take in your family, but you just won't do it. When are you going to do it? When are you going to deal with that thing in your family? When are you going to deal with that thing in your home, right? That's one of the things about getting rid of high places and idolatry. A lot of people aren't going to like it, you know? And again, it's not just out there. It's at home. You know, sometimes the family's not going to be on board with getting rid of the high places. You know, and there's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the issues are difficult. You love your family, they love you, and you don't want to make them mad at you. I'm talking about under the roof, you know. Sometimes it's easier to deal with the extended family, right? They know, yep, they know. But it's under the roof. There's where the hard, hard decisions sometimes have to be made. When everybody's not on board, but, you know, Dad's got to make the decision. Those are the hard things, you know, I admit, that's where some of my high places are. Those are the hard places in the house. Things that you need to deal with. And you say, I don't know if I can do that. But you need to do it. If that's what the Lord keeps bringing back, here are some issues. Here are some things that are keeping your family from the Lord. Here are some things that, you know, these are issues in your house. I often think about Eli. Oh, Eli. He didn't deal with the things in his house, did he? Now, I'm telling you, those are some of the hard things, aren't they? It's at home. It's at home. Some of those hard, those hardest things that we need to deal with. But you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. But what are we going to do about our high places? This is what it all comes down to. What are we going to do about it? What will the record say of us? There's a record. You realize that. There's a record of our lives. What's it going to say? Right? You know, here's so-and-so, and they were a good Christian. Nevertheless, the high places. Right? We don't want that. We don't want that. He or she was a good Christian. Nevertheless, the high places. Or he or she was a good Christian. They left no remnant of idolatry in their heart. They even cut down the groves and destroyed the high places in their lives. They took care of those things. Let's go read in 2 Kings 23. And this is such an interesting account in 2 Kings here. We've got like three generations. We're going to come to the last one. We're going to come to the grandson. But, you know, you've got Hezekiah. And he's a good king. And it says there wasn't anyone like him. But then you get to Manasseh. And he's like the worst. I mean, he's compared to, you know, the kings of Israel. He's like, here's dad, and then here's the son, who's just horrible. I mean, he was the final straw. God said, that's it. Even though Josiah has done all this, I'm still going to deal with what Manasseh did, right? And so he was just horrible. But then you get to Josiah. So Josiah, he's got a grandpa, you know, that dealt with some things. He's got a dad that man did the worst. He was the worst of the worst. But then you got Josiah. Now he's got to make that decision in his life. Am I going to follow dad or grandpa? Right? He's got the high places left to him to deal with. Now what's he going to do with it? The legacy his dad left to him was high places, idolatry. Right? That's his legacy. Now Josiah's got to make a stand. Am I going to follow dad? Or am I going to look back to grandpa and see that he followed the Lord, right? And we know what happened with Josiah. I mean, it was so bad in that time that they didn't have the Word of God, right? He gets the Word of God, and it breaks his heart. He repents. That's what we need to do. We need to repent, right? When the Word of God addresses our issues, our high places, the things that need to be dealt with, don't sit there and grit your teeth. Wish you'd quit preaching on that. Was that Brother Titus? Shut up and sit down, right? That's your high places, right? You know, he had those things to deal with, and he dealt with them. But let's look at there in 2 Kings 23 in verse 12, and we'll read a few scriptures here. And we're just going to jump in. I mean, he's been dealing with some stuff, and we're going to kind of jump in here in verse 12. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Right? Turn them into powder. I mean, that's the only way to deal with it. You got it. If you're going to deal with it, make sure you can't be recovered. Verse 13, in the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. That's Solomon. That's the mountain where Solomon established those high places. They got the name the Mount of Corruption. Which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel. Now he's going to go deal with Samaria now. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he break down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And Josiah turned himself
And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and he sent and took the bones of out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone, which the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him.
Now, don't you want the record to say something similar in your life, right? Your record might not be like this so far, right? And no doubt we've got our records are probably not like this so far. But that doesn't mean that from today forward, it can't change. Isn't that what happened in Josiah's life? He realized that I'm not right with the Lord. And he repented. And I'm telling you what, he repented. You know, and he dealt with all of those issues, all those things that needed to be dealt with. And that's the record we want to have in our lives. We heard the message and the Lord got a hold of our heart and he caused us to repent and we dealt with the high places. We left no stone unturned. You know, we went on down to Samaria and did some dealing there too. We got rid of the high places. I mean, don't we want that said? I surely do. I want to say, and I know that I fail, right? I need this message as much as anyone else does. Probably more than anyone else does. I need this message because I need to deal with the high places in my life. I don't want to be just like that, you know, Jehoshaphat. He was a good king, nevertheless, the high places, you know. He was a good pastor. He was a good dad. He was a good husband. Nevertheless, the high places. He left the high places. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I know you don't either. I know you don't want that. What's it going to take? Loving the Lord with everything you are. And then dealing with the high places. Don't leave them standing. You know what? Some of us won't be. You know, some of us got a couple days of traveling. But, you know, some of us are going to be able to get home pretty soon. Go to the place where the high place is and deal with it. Don't leave it go, because then you know what you're going to do. You're going to forget about it. You're going to leave it. 10 years down the road, you're going to hear another message about the high places that you still haven't dealt with. Right? Or you're going to die. And that'll be the end of the record. Nevertheless, the high places. So what are we going to do with those things? That's the thing. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to deal with it? Are we just going to just say, well, it's just a little thing? We need to deal with those things. So we'll bring it to a conclusion here. Every generation of God's people will have to deal with the idolatry of and sin of this world and the high places left of the generations that came before them. The question is, will we be like the kings who established high places, the kings who tore down the high places, or the kings who left them for others to deal with? So may God give us grace and love for him that causes us to tear down our high places.